Good morning, everybody. We are continuing in the book of Mark, and we are reading Mark chapter 10, verses 1 through 12 today. Mark chapter 10, verses 1 through 12. And he left there and went to the region of Judea and beyond the Jordan, and crowds gathered to him again. And again, as was his custom, he taught them. And Pharisees came up and, in order to test him, asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and to send her away." And Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." And in the house the disciples asked him again about this matter. And he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." So we're closing out our time in Mark this week by talking about divorce and marriage, something that I'm obviously an expert in myself. I'm just kidding, by the way. Thankfully, this conversation between Jesus and the Pharisees doesn't just reveal truth about the laws regarding divorce and marriage, but actually on obedience in general. Through today's passage, Jesus shows us how to look at all the commands that God gives in a way that is blessing to us as we live obediently. To understand not only the limitations of the law, but also the benefits that we gain when we follow in obedience. So we see that Jesus' response to the Pharisees in our passage teaches us that one, obedience trains us to love, and two, that obedience brings appreciation for God's design. So firstly, the obedience trains us to love. It might be a no-brainer that following God's commandments guides you to make good decisions and to remain in good standing with him. But there is a big difference between being guided by the law and the law being the end-all, be-all. For a lot of the Jews, the Mosaic law became this sort of final word for them to live by. And it makes sense. They were to be judged by this law, and they were to do everything they can to remain just in the eyes of the law. But as we see here in today's passage, the Pharisees, who themselves were experts on the matter, saw the law as something to work around or find loopholes in. You know, they ask Jesus, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" in an effort to trap him on technicalities. After all, they say, Moses allowed for a man to divorce his wife. By answering this question, Jesus would either have to contradict Moses, which would be sure to break down his credibility, or he would have to condone divorce. And the reason why this trap is a clever one is because the Pharisees must have known in their hearts that divorce wasn't a good thing. And by forcing Jesus to condone divorce, that would break down his credibility as well. What the Pharisees actually themselves believed on the subject didn't particularly matter. After all, they weren't asking for themselves. They were asking so that Jesus is in kind of a lose-lose situation. But we get a glimpse into what the Mosaic law has transformed into in Jewish culture as we see this question. You know, this sort of walk the line, obstacles that we need to overcome kind of deal. You know, another example might be in Luke when Jesus is approached by a lawyer, another expert in the law, and is asked, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" When Jesus responds, "Love your neighbor," the lawyer immediately asks, "And who is my neighbor?" You know, he tries to make the commandment that Jesus was referring to into a literal one, you know, love your neighbor, so that he would be justified in not loving those that he would have a hard time loving. You know, God never intended for his commandments to be seen this way. The Mosaic law was supposed to give the Israelites guidance on what it looked like to be a people that pursued the Lord and were for him and him alone. There are a lot of important rules that the Israelites had to obey if they wanted to walk after God, but that didn't mean that anything not mentioned was fair game. You know, God wanted the Israelites to grow in their love for God as they followed the law. And with love comes obedience, not just to the letter of the law, but to the spirit of the law also. You know, I'm realizing more and more as I pursue Jesus that it's so easy to see God's commandments as an enemy of our freedom rather than a guide to increasing in love and walking with Him. I hear commands like pray without ceasing or forgive those who have wronged you, and I treat them as an obligation rather than recognizing the significance and the privilege that I have to pursue these things. I say things like, I serve enough already, or I should wait to get closer to this person before sharing the gospel, when in reality, I'm just using them as excuses and not allowing myself to learn how to pick up my cross daily and learn how to pour out in love. You know, we need to remember that God's commandments are rules we should follow, but that's not the end goal. You know, the commandments of God, they point us towards a picture of God's heart and of His desire for our lives. And obeying these commandments trains us to love Him. But in addition to this, Jesus shows that the true understanding of God's commandments leads to seeing the beauty and the wisdom in how God designed our world. And as we practice obedience, it brings appreciation for this beauty and wisdom. You know, Jesus continues in His response to the Pharisees by not just teaching on divorce, but also on marriage. He says, "From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." It might seem odd that Jesus is answering a question about divorce by talking about marriage, but it actually brings to light the hole in the Pharisees' question. Although divorce is lawful according to Mosaic law, Jesus understands that that doesn't mean that divorce should be desired. He talks about the beauty of marriage, of this unique, intimate relationship that happens between husband and wife, about how significant this commitment between the two is, to the point that they become one flesh. Now, this is a beautiful thing, and Jesus shows that marriage isn't something that we should be so quick to break apart through divorce just because it's lawful. You know, the laws surrounding divorce and marriage should have led to the Jews having a vibrant understanding of the sanctity of this union between husband and wife, and it should result in a great appreciation for how God has designed it to be so. Again, although we no longer subscribe to much of the Mosaic law, there are still many things that we are taught to do through the Bible. You know, pray, fast, worship, invite, forgive, rest, confess, abstain. But these things are not just commands for us to follow blindly. These things are windows into God's heart. As we obey God's commands regarding devotion and worship, we should grow in appreciation for how amazing it is to be able to engage with Him in these ways. As we obey God's commands regarding forgiveness and reconciliation, we should grow in appreciation for the blessing of grace from Him to us. As we obey in all these things, we should be more and more amazed at what a beautiful, abundant life our Father has set before us to live with Him. As we go about our day today, there are going to be a lot of opportunities to practice obedience. But let's not go about it in just an obligation sort of way without any real thought. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to transform our understanding of God's commands, to remind us of how obedience can train us in loving Him and bring appreciation for God's hand over our lives. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that You don't just give us a set of rules to follow for the sake of following rules, but actually the things that You command us to have a rich and meaningful purpose in our lives. They're not just to make sure that we live a certain way, but it's so that we can really understand Your heart and that so that we're guided in following You and loving You more. Lord, I pray that we not just try to skirt around these rules, these sort of things that are required of us, but instead I pray that we can see them as blessings, to see them as a way to get closer to You and to honor You So Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit can just be on us and can just teach us, Lord, to live this life in obedience, in appreciation, and in love for you. Lord, we thank you so much. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.